What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
What will the Mets do? What should the Mets do to try and get this team to feel closer, more like the team that had the best record in baseball first couple months of the season? To talk about all things Mets, we bring in Will Salmon from The Athletic. Hey, Will, how are you?
Hey, Lori, doing good here. Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with the positive vibes before we go to some of the issues. So this weekend, yesterday, the Mets retire David Wright's number. And, you know, obviously it was done well by the team and a feel-good day or a feel-good ceremony. What for you, you know, as you took this all in, what for you was the highlight of the David Wright day?
I thought he nailed the speech. I'm always interested to see how that goes. Some are better than others, but I thought he nailed his. I thought it was really well done. I love the way that he incorporated his kids, especially with that final message. The kicker was great. It was so well put together, and it seemed genuine to me, every word of it, really. And that's the epitome of David Wright. That's who he has always been. And I just feel like there's not a phony bone in his body. And I think people saw that just from that one speech and just the way that he delivered it and just the way that not only the fans supported him and showed up the way that they did, but just the people from throughout his career. It was all different segments of his career. And I think that kind of speaks volume, because when you talk to those guys, he was the same kind of person throughout all those years, you know, from when he was just called up to the middle, when he was arguably one of the best players in the league, and then toward the end, when he just injuries had caught up and limited his capabilities, he stayed true to himself and was just a consistent person. And I thought that was something that really shined throughout that day.
Yeah, I think the combination of him growing up a Mets fan, rooting for the, you know, Tidewater Tides, you know, the Mets AAA affiliate, growing up a Mets fan, and he talked about also that growing up with parents who worked blue collar jobs, and that affinity for people from Queens and Mets fans and all of that. There was always that connection and genuine affection and love for David Wright. So here was this feel-good ceremony, everything done beautifully, and then we get to the baseball game. And did it seem like there was more booing than we've maybe seen all year from Mets fans in a day that started so nicely? Did you sense a even more than usual greater frustration from Mets fans to the way this team has been playing for the last 30 games before today?
Well, if there was, it was probably just because of the size of the crowd. Like I said, it was packed. It was packed also on Friday night, the first game out of the second half. A very large crowd that day. There was another large crowd today on Sunday. And so I think that what you heard was a product of that, of having pretty much a sold-out crowd there and watching a team that was frustrating to watch. And I think that you're right that it was very loud, especially Friday and Saturday. And Friday night, when Alex Carrillo had the bad outing, the reliever that they put in after Sean Manaea, it was quite loud as well. And I don't think that those boos were for him necessarily. I don't think it was for this guy who has this incredible backstory as somebody who was from the independent league and got to play in the major leagues. I don't think that they were necessarily booing him, although his performance was not good. It was more just a sense of being fed up and frustrated with the fact that, hey, we want some new players here. We want some quality relievers on this team. We want the front office to go and do something. I felt like it was more that sort of message, not necessarily a scream at the player type of thing, because these guys a lot of these fans, as much involved as they are, don't know all that much about the poor reliever who may or may not be here in a week anyway. So I think it was just a lot of bottled up frustration, and I think a lot of people were very curious to see how this team would respond in the second half right away. And people were looking forward to it after what felt like a long All-Star break. It always does, even though it's only a few days. People want to see the Mets, and they want to see them do well. And when they don't, it gets to be very frustrating for a team that has a lot of promise and a lot of potential, because we saw how good it could be when they are rolling right. And like you mentioned, at one point they were the best team in baseball, and all these players are still here for the most part. They're back healthy as well. So they should be able to turn things around. But I totally understand why fans were upset those first 2 days of this series.
To build off the bullpen theme, and I think you're right, I think the booing was also frustration, as some of that is a message to President of Baseball Operations David Stearns as we approach the trade deadline. Some of that is to Mets manager Carlos Mendoza for, I think from a Mets fan perspective, deciding in a game that had been, Mets were up 2-1, that to go as the first option out of the bullpen to a guy who you would probably say is the 26th guy on the roster, and to choose that first as opposed to trying to get some more innings from other guys rested off of an All-Star break, I think that was some of the frustration as well with that. But here's there are a few comments that are in this ilk that I got about when I said I was going to have you on. And fans, this one's a nice one of a fan commenting, complimenting The Athletic and saying people should pay for that subscription. But goes on to say, ask Will about the bullpen and why it looks like the bar scene in Star Wars. which I enjoyed that comment, but I think that it is feeling that way to Mets fans. Just when you comment on that game, guys coming and going, and who are these guys? And yes, I guess on a positive note, Brooks Raley is back. How important can that arm be to have the Mets bullpen not seem like a bar scene in Star Wars?
Brooks Raley is vital. He has always lingered as an important piece, and it was a coincidence, happenstance, that he began his negotiations with the Mets, and then all of a sudden, pretty much as soon as he agreed to the deal, they lost both their lefties, AJ Minter and Danny Young, to season-ending injuries. And so his level of importance just rose from there. It's always been pretty high, even in the backdrop of him not playing, pretty much a full season at this point, coming off of Tommy John surgery. But I do caution with him a little bit, because again, he hasn't pitched. He's not somebody that's been counted on yet in a big way. And so I think we have to be careful with our expectations there a little bit. As good as he is, and as good as he has been for the Mets since they signed him originally, before the 23 season, he was lights out. Yeah, 23 to 24, that brief time that he had, he was very, very good. But I think it's important to sort of cast those expectations within the context of this guy. He missed a whole year, and so to count on him as your savior from the left side, I'm a little bit worried about that. I would like to see the Mets add another left-hander because this is somebody that, again, I'm a huge believer in Brooks Raley. I think he's great, but he was coming off a rehab assignment that was very much mapped out. That's what rehab assignments are. You know when you're pitching, you know when you're not, you know how long the outing is going to be, you know when you're going to pitch again. Now he doesn't have that, really. Like, he's going to come into games. Maybe he thought he would be pitching. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he's going to be back-to-back. Maybe he's going to be a one-up and then get another out in the next inning. So it changes, and we don't know exactly how he will react. Again, chances are he'll be okay or very good, for that matter, but you don't know. So he has the potential to be extremely important for this team, but they need to add an addition to him, though, and they know that. They know that they have to add probably two more relievers before the trade deadline, and there is room for that as well. And so if you do that and you get Raley going and you have Jose Buto come back and maybe you push down a Brazoban or Reed Garrett to the sixth or seventh instead of always the seventh and the eighth, then suddenly your bullpen could be a lot better. But right now you're still relying on those three or four guys in high leverage spots every single time. And we've seen it catch up, and it will continue to catch up if they're forced to go that route without adding. But I'm pretty sure they're going to be adding at least two guys, if I had to guess.
So another one of the, my followers, listeners here, Brandon wants to know, it seems like, obviously the Mets, as you said, the Mets need a couple of bullpen arms. You know what? The Yankees need a couple of bullpen arms. The Phillies just signed, they need a couple of bullpen arms. They just signed David Robertson to what seemed like more money than maybe we were expecting. And there's so much competition for relief pitching right now. So Brandon's question is, how can the Mets outmaneuver competition for some of these trade targets?
I think it's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. Two things kind of come to mind. One, they could stomach the cost that it will be in terms of the amounts or who the prospects are, because their farm system is good enough to allow for that. It's just a matter of, do they have the appetite to part with it? And look, you're not going to part with that kind of deal for a middling reliever or an average reliever. I'm talking more about someone like a Duran on the Twins if he becomes available, mm-hmm. or a Class A with the Guardians if he becomes available. I was talking about like a high caliber type. So the Mets could get in there and they could really get one of those guys if they're willing to part with the prospect capital that it takes, because they have those resources, I would argue. So that's one way to do it. And I'm not sure what the appetite is there for that. And you also need those guys to actually be in play in the first place. And we're not so sure yet that that's going to be the case. The other way to do it is similar to the way that they did it last year, where they sort of rely on their own scouting and projections. And they try to find guys who are a little bit more affordable on the prospect end. And they think are a little bit undervalued by the rest of the industry, perhaps. And that's how they wound up with, Stanek. Maton was more of a costing salary, but Brazoban as well. Took a while for him to get going. But there's risk in that. I mean, we saw the risk last year. Like, Brazoban was not much of a factor for them last season. And Stanek was very inconsistent at the beginning before becoming really their only guy in the playoffs besides, getting to the closer. So it can be hit or miss when you're operating that way. And it's more of a long game approach, and it's more of an approach that you take when you don't know for sure how good your team is. But if the Mets think that they have a good team, then they should be emboldened to act accordingly. And so if the market allows for them to go out and get one of those big name guys, they should be in the market for that.
Talking to Will Salmon from The Athletic about the Mets, and Well, the first part of the season where the Mets played like the team with the best record in baseball, they were that team. A lot of that was on the backs of the starting rotation and the bullpen, and overall the best ERA, lowest ERA in baseball for a while. And it maybe camouflaged the fact that the offense was okay, but an offense that was supposed to be the strength of the team was not a top five OPS run scoring offense in all of baseball. During the struggle over these last 30 games where the team has really floundered, the bullpen and the starters are not giving air cover to that offense. And we saw a weekend like this one where they win today, but they win 3-2 even. When you look at this Mets team and all the potential needs and needing to trade for a bullpen and make significant moves like that, what do you expect to do? What would you do about the offense, and do they need to trade for another significant bat?
I think that they need to add to their lineup at this point. I do, because they're in a situation where if they're not getting production, I know everybody likes to use this stat about Lindor, and when he produces, they win. When he doesn't produce, they lose, that kind of thing. And I think you could kind of use that stat for like any star player on any other team, and you would probably find splits that are pretty pronounced. Maybe it's a little bit more stark with Lindor. But my point is that it's not just Lindor. It's when those other guys also don't hit, they lose too. Like those, they need production from their first four guys. And when that goes missing, when it's just one of them having a good day, it just doesn't really work, because they don't have guys hitting behind them that are going to consistently get things done. And that kind of falls on like the young guys that they had high hopes for this year, whether it was Mark Vientos, Francisco Alvarez, some of the other guys as well. They expected more. And so maybe we'll see with Alvarez coming back for tomorrow's game. Maybe he gets going and picks up from his AAA results and becomes a guy that they can count on toward the middle end of their lineup. But right now their DHs are banged up, whether it's Marte or Winker, and they're not getting any production from center field offensively when McNeil isn't there playing there. And when he's at second base, and third base is a question mark completely. They don't really know who they're going with day to day at third base. It's kind of a rotation between three guys, and none of those three guys have really taken the position and ran with it. And we're already at the end of July almost. So I do think so. If you get a center fielder, maybe like a Luis Robert, who is all of a sudden hitting again, or a Duran, and I'm just throwing names out there, so I'm not sure, but that would help the lineup, and it would solve an issue without taking away a spot that they're trying to devote to a young player, whether that's third base or catcher, clearly. So I think center field is the main option there, where you could stand an upgrade. And most center fielders are pretty good defenders as well. And so you're looking to get a good all-around player at that spot who could help lengthen your lineup. And there are guys who are theoretically on the market who could do that for you.
I had not noticed that Luis Robert had started to hit in the last 5 minutes, because he certainly hadn't been hitting earlier this season.
It's only been a week, Lori, okay. So if you missed it, I don't blame you. It's been a long season of him not hitting. So.
I actually had looked, but it was probably about a week ago. But I would think that would not, that the Mets wouldn't have to give up much, that if I'm the White Sox, I'm, you know what, I can delude myself, but mostly get rid of the money and be happy that you're doing that at this point. All right, so on a couple of things that maybe we don't talk about that often on a positive sense is, one is Pete Alonso's defense. Do we see a day like today where Pete does not start because of the thumb injury, and we see Mark Vientos in there? And I think there was a sense, certainly for this year, if Pete had if the Mets had not re-signed Pete Alonso, then Vientos at first base was the initial plan there. And if he played there every day, I'm sure he would be better. And today maybe a little bit of an aberration. But watching him around the base and watching some of the scoops and the unearned run in the first inning, all of that, do we, you know, with Pete Alonso and some of the, I know the throwing can be an adventure and all of that, but his glove, when you look around the league and you watch first baseman on a day-in, day-out basis, I understand there are guys like, you know, Olsen with the Braves or whatever, but Pete's glove at first base, a day like today, watching Vientos just gives me at least a ton of appreciation for it. I'm wondering what you see regularly.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And, you know, you mentioned a very fair point about Mark Vientos, and if he would have been playing maybe the whole season at the end of July, maybe he doesn't look as rusty at first base as he did today. But I would counter that with, well, in April, Pete Alonso made play after play, and maybe if there was somebody else there, that guy isn't making those plays. And some of those games, some of those plays helped them win games in April. And so, yeah, I think that his defense is pretty solid for a first baseman. The question is, you know, of course, as he ages and gets into his 30s now, does that continue? I don't know. But I do know that he, as cliche as it sounds, he puts in the work every day. And I wouldn't lean on something like that and say something like that if I didn't see it and if I didn't see it every single day. And so it's not just talk with Pete Alonso. He really, really cares about it. And we're seeing that show up this year in particular. And it's really his all-around game. I mean, it is something when somebody says to themselves, look, I'm going to change these things about my game. And he goes about, makes the point to do it, and then he gets the results that he's getting. I know he has not been hitting the last couple of weeks as much as he was in the beginning of the season, of course, but you would think that comes around. And then just defensively, yeah, it's a close game late in the game, and they're subbing him in for defense because he's only going to take that one at-bat, and he's dealing with a bad hand. So I'm not sure how compromised he was in that one at-bat, but you're there because he provides more of a security for you. So I think that was really cool to see, and it just really showcases his growth at that spot and becoming more of an all-around player.
Yeah, kind of a full circle moment for Pete Alonso, where earlier in his career, whether it was, you know, with Dom Smith or whoever it was, that there was this notion that late in games you'd have to take Alonso out to cover his defense. And here was a situation where late in games to try and protect a lead, it was, all right, you know, put in Pete Alonso. And to your point, shows all of that hard work that maybe the fans don't get to see, but that you see, and how hard he's working on the defense. The other, you know, we can boo and we can criticize when things are bad, and certainly when Juan Soto, you know, we all know what he does with the bat, the defense and the base running coming to the Mets. Those were areas where we look at it and say, well, Juan Soto is below average with that. And
want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option That's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Glove out there, the routes he takes. I think he is who, you know, Mets fans probably thought he would be out there. But the base running to me is interesting on a day when he scores the winning run on a contact play. I think that with Juan Soto, more often than not, it is the, oh, he didn't run that play out to first base that gets so much of the attention. But has he been a better base runner this season? Is that something that, I don't know if that's the Mets, their coaching, or what's happening, but at least to my eyes, he seems to be a better base runner than I expected.
I've been impressed all season by his base running. This is the first year where I'm watching him on a daily basis, and base running is one of those things where you don't really know how good a guy is until you're watching him every single day. At least I feel that way, because some guys could, you know, they can make a mistake or whatever, and you don't want to read too much into it one way or the other. But when you see a guy like him every day just consistently go first to third, first to home on doubles, he runs hard on the bases. I understand people get on him for, you know, hitting the grounder and not always running it out. A lot of stars don't run those out, and a lot of teams don't care that their stars don't run those out, because that they just don't see the value in it, frankly, of a guy busting it those 90 feet for a routine play. That's just the way it is these days. But what teams and people should care about is the way that he's reading balls in the gaps and going first to third, like I said, and also his stealing has been off the charts.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that credit should go to Antoine Richardson, their first base and base running and outfield coach, and he's been great at it. He puts in a lot of hours studying pitchers and when to go and who to go and what situations, but a lot of it's also on the players. And I think Juan Soto is perfect, actually, on the bases, and he's not doing it at, like, he's not, like, racking up, like, junk stats or garbage stats where it's like he's doing it and he's just padding his numbers kind of thing. Like, he usually goes when it matters, and he usually goes in situations that that call for it, number one, that puts the team in a good spot and doesn't compromise anything, whether it's the guy at the plate or what they're trying to do offensively, or if it's a blowout game or something like that. It's usually like in a tight game where it matters. And he's good at picking his spots. And part of that, like I said, is Richardson, but part of that is on Soto as well for being willing to do that. And so, yeah, I give him a lot of credit for the way that he runs his base, for the way that he runs the bases. And then defensively, like you said, it's not going to always look pretty or perfect. I think there was a play the other day where he missed a cutoff or threw to the wrong cutoff, and that happens. But, you know, I will say that he has worked on his arm. His arm's better than I thought it was, too. And I think that there's definitely some room to grow where he could get better at it. Like, I feel like he has gotten better as the season has gone on too, with reading balls in right field at Citi Field and elsewhere. So yeah, I think that he brings it's Juan Soto. So of course he brings a lot to the table, but those other things that you're talking about, the defense and the base running, are kind of, for the most part, they've been pretty good bonuses, especially the base running.
Yeah. 12 success, one caught stealing, and 12, ties a career high. All right, last one before I let you go. What do you say to Mets fans who look at this team's offense and think it has not lived up to its potential and blame the co-hitting coaches and want to see the move, the Mets make a move, send a message, fire hitting coaches?
I mean, I understand, like, with the frustration with that, because you want someone to blame, and it's always sort of easier to fire the coaches or to fire somebody and not fire the players. But the players will be the first one to say that it's on them. I mean, they are getting prepared these coaches have been with this team for a while now. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why they've survived different administrations within the front office changes. And players have vouched for them all these years. And so I don't think that they've suddenly changed or done things so differently where they're not getting results. We're talking about guys like Pete Alonso, Lindor, Nimmo, Soto. All those guys are hitting just fine for the most part, and they've been pretty consistent. And so I think if they work to boost the back end of that lineup externally a little bit, I think you'll see some better results as well across the board. So, I understand it. I also don't think that it's in their DNA to make a change in the middle of the season either. If there was going to be a change, it would be at the end of the season. But I also don't think it's entirely fair when they are seeing results with the better players, and it's not completely out of the norm for young players to have some ebbs and flows to the beginnings of their careers. So I do get it. I do get where the fans are coming from, but I also don't think it's completely fair to blame them at all.
Yeah, fans sometimes want change for change's sake. Will Salmon from The Athletic, appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.